person and this is the Tonight Show. You all are the guests. We are here to share something that's called in Holden Happy Hour. That means that all kinds of silliness, stupidity, anything short of vulgarity is welcome. We will entice it out of you. Yes, ma'am.
Today, the silent white form that besides those that had gone before, she did not weep or cry out. Then finally, nature would withhold itself no longer. She wept long and loud. Those near her took up the cry, and the ground echoed and echoed with the song. Then suddenly, all was still. What was the use of it all? She would lay another egg tomorrow.
It's a gutless comedian who will tell her best joke and then leave. We'll get to her later at the bell.
Someone here said that was a pretty good yoke.
Puns are welcome. Okay. This audience does not seem like it needs any priming. I was going to prime a little bit. We don't seem to need that. No, my only proviso was that we would spend the first 55 minutes on Texas jokes.
And lived up to Washington and raised the IQ level of both states.
All right, one more Texas bird from it. You want to repeat that?
Y'all hear about the group of Texans that lived up in Washington and raised the IQ level of both states.
Are there any local rejoinders to the The other 5 minutes, besides the 55 minutes of Texas jokes, I thought could be devoted to Norwegian jokes. The only rule I think that we want to follow tonight is that when we tell ethnic jokes, that they really ought to be on ourselves. Okay? For obvious reasons. We can laugh with and at ourselves.
As a young father, Jody, can you tell us how to drive a baby buggy, please?
I have no idea, sir.
You try tickling the seat.
Where's that 4-year-old kid who was telling you jokes all afternoon?
He went to bed.
Go on in, balcony. Any category at this point. True story, one-liners, church humor. We really ought to have some church humor here tonight. Shaggy dog.
Okay, we have one up here.
Yes, yes, in fact.
We're both from Minneapolis, so we thought we could take care of it. Right?
Correct.
So these two Norwegians reading the Bible, and one of them said, I see something in here about St. Paul, but I don't see anything about Minneapolis.
Understand why all these people are hiding the gospel.
W.C. Fields was sitting on the set one day, sitting there and having this quiet calm, like paging through the Bible. Well, one of the workers kind of came up to him and said, sent up his little lodge, we knew that Fields was a particularly religious person. He says, what are you doing there? Fields looks up and says, looking for loopholes. As we were driving up the Holden, we picked up a bear. And then the forest ranger came and said, we said, hey, what should we do with this bear we have in our car? And he said, well, I guess you better take him to the zoo. So my husband said, okay, we'll do that. And then yesterday we saw the same forest ranger, and we had the bear in the back seat. And he said, I thought I told you to take that bear to the zoo. And we said, we did, and he had such a good time, he thought we'd take him to the ball game today.
What do you give when you mix holy water and prune juice?
Holy water and prune juice.
Ecumenical movement.
What do you get when you cross an elephant and a rhino?
Albino.
What?
Was that right up there?
Yeah.
That's the correct response. All right. Now here is it correct.
Boys and girls up there remind me of the little boy that saw green parakeets for the first time, and he explained to his father, those canaries aren't ripe yet.
What do you call an Indian hitchhiking in October? An Indian summer.
I know.
On then we're flying a plane from Oslo to Seattle. And as they were flying along and they were over the ocean, they heard a loud pop. Over the loudspeaker came, the pilot and he said, ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a loud pop. What you don't need to worry, it's only an Indian and will be 1 hour late to Seattle. Only looked at Ben, Ben looked at Omi, decided it was all right and went on with their dinner. A little bit later, they heard another pop. And again, the loudspeaker and the gravelly voice, ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a second pop. But there's no need to worry. We'll only be 2 hours late to Seattle. So they looked at each other and decided that was all right. Flew on a little further. Heard a third pop. Now they're in concern. And the pilot comes over and says, Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a third part. Now, there's no need to worry. We'll only be 3 hours late to see us. Then, Ben was Ollie. Ollie said, "Young for Yemenis, then I hope that third one, that fourth one don't go, or we'll be up here all day."
I think that it seems to me that Ollie and Sven finally made it to Holden because I overheard a conversation between them this afternoon under the bell. They had just returned from a fishing trip. They went all the way down to Lake Chelan and had rented a rowboat out of Chelan, came back with a terrific string of trout. And another guest asked Ollie if he remembered what the spot where he had gotten this incredible string of 15, 16-inch trout. Ollie said, "Yeah, I marked with a red pen the boat." And Sven said, "Yeah, but Ollie, what if we don't get the same boat tomorrow?"
That man's from Minnesota.
I just married into it. It's not my blood.
Bird talk is cheap.
Oh.
Man goes into a doctor's office and he says, "Doctor, I want to become a Polak." The doctor says, "Why do you want to be a Polak?" He goes, "Well, they're always being in jokes and everyone's talking about them, so I want to be a Polak." The doctor says, "Well, that's easy to do. We'll have to remove 3/4 of your brain." And the man says, "Yeah, I think I'll do that operation." So they're operating and the doctor takes away 3/4 of his brain. The guy wakes up and the doctor says, "I think we removed too much of your brain. The first thing you said when you woke up was oopta."
Back in the days when Vern was a teenager and was getting serious about the first girl, you know, that he ever really was even thinking about kissing, he had it all rehearsed what he was going to say when he said goodnight to her. And so he had it all figured out that he'd say it this way: "Dear, when I look into your eyes, time just stands still." But he got all excited and nervous, and he says, "When I look into your eyes, it's enough to stop a clock."
One time this couple was walking back from a movie, and this guy, but they were getting closer to her door, and he wanted to get the nerve up to kiss her, and so he said this little prayer. He goes, "Father, Father up above, let me kiss the one I love." And he heard this thunder up in the sky, and it says, "Sinner, sinner down below, tuck her up and let her go."
God's will.
I have this is a true story, and I don't want to mention any names, but it has to do with the poetry class. So, this young man was telling me this. It was his first date with this young lady, and he kind of liked her, but he didn't know anything what she felt, and she was real shy. And they were sitting, no, it wasn't the first date. They're sitting watching TV, and it was getting late, and this is a dorm room at college, and he was about ready to go, and so he'd been preparing all evening that this was the time that the one date that he would kiss her goodnight, and he was leaning over to kiss her, And he had thought this all through, and he thought it was ready because she was looking right at him, and, you know, eyes on him, and everything. He thought it was this for sure. And she turned her face, and, you know, she turned her face, and so the first thing he said, and this is what popped in his head, was he whispered into her ear, and he whispered sweet nothings, and not sweet nothings, but the word sweet nothings into her ear, and she just... And he walked out, and he never spoke to her again. He never was
back to the drawing board.
Current Latin American joke. What does Nicaragua have in common with the phonograph record? Both have 33 revolutions per minute.
Sure. Topical humor. 5-day forecast for Three Mile Island. It's 2 days.
I have another story. Okay, once upon a time, there was a small Jewish village where the people were called Trid. The name of this village was Tridsville. And there was a very mean giant who came down from the mountains and kicked all these poor Trids all over the place. Just walked down the street kicking Trids all over the place. And day after day, he came down and just kicked them. The rabbi in the village was watching every day. He didn't get kicked because the giant respected holy men. So one day he went up to the giant and said, "Giant, why are you kicking all these Trids all over the place?" And the giant replied, "Silly rabbi, everybody knows kicks are for Trids."
Man who does not watch television.
There was this young lady one day walking out in the woods, and she came upon this lovely big lake, and it was very warm, and she thought, how nice it would be to go swimming, but she hadn't brought her swimming suit. So she looked around, and she didn't see anyone else around, so she thought, well, I'll just take my clothes off and I'll just go in for a nice quick cool dip. So while she was in, there were some young boys that come stomping through the woods, and they spotted her out there in the lake and her clothes beside it, and so they thought, well, we'll have some fun with her. So they started taking her clothes and running away with them, and they were teasing her, and so of course she became very concerned and frustrated, so she was quickly reaching down at the bottom of the lake trying to find something. And so finally she come across this miner's pan, so she stood up in the water with this pan in front of her, and she shook her finger to the boys, and she said, "Listen here, do you know what I'm thinking?" And they said, "Yes, you're thinking there's a bottom in that pan."
That same young lady went sunbathing on top of a tall hotel building and got up there and decided she was the tallest building in the city. No one could look down at her. This was the perfect opportunity for the absolute perfect tan. There was even this nice, smooth platform for her to lay on. So as she removed her bikini and lay down, she heard some footsteps coming up the steps a little later, and so she put the towel over the back of her and looked up at some mannequin, and she said, "It's perfectly all right. There's no helicopters or airplanes." And he said, "Yes," he says, "but the people below the skyline don't really appreciate it."
Yeah.
want a pink car. Pink keys, pink clothes, pink shoes, pink everything. Okay, one night she came home and she was walking across the pink lawn. Dad had a pink keys and opened up a pink door. She walked across the pink rug, walked up the pink stairs, and walked into her pink bedroom. She took off her pink clothes and got into her pink nightgown. Then she got into her pink bed. Then someone knocked on her door. And she got up, she went across the pink rug, down the pink stairs, across the pink rug, and opened up the pink door. Someone said, my house just burned down. Do you have a place where I can stay for the night? She says, sure, there's a room down the hall and to the left. Okay, so the guy goes down there. She goes back up her pink stairs, across the pink rug, into her pink room, gets into her pink bed. Then someone else comes and knocks on the door. So she gets out of her pink bed, puts on her pink back room, goes across the pink rug, down the pink stairs, and opens up the pink door. So someone says, I just had a fight with my wife. Do you have a place where I can stay tonight? She says, yeah, down the hall and to the right. Great. So she goes back up the pink stairs, across the pink bed. Out of her pink bed, she goes across the pink rug, goes down the pink stairs, opens up the pink door, and some guy says, hi, I'm new to town. Do you have a place where I can stay for the night? She says, yeah, there's another room down the hall to the left. So she goes back up the pink stairs, goes across the pink rug, gets in her pink bed. Next morning, she wakes up, and she goes down the pink stairs and into her pink kitchen, and the three guys are sitting there, and she goes, okay, what do you want for breakfast? Life, Cheerios, or Wheaties? One guy says Life, the other guy says Cheerios, another guy says Life. What's the moral of the story? Two out of three people prefer Life.
Counterfeiters make homemade bread.
Once more.
The counterfeiters make homemade bread.
Why do Polish airlines have windshield wipers on the inside of their airplane?
Because the
pirates are always going to be.
Punchline once more.
He knows it. He told me to say it.
Either one of you, punchline once more.
Because they go.
Same with Norwegian Airlines, I think, right?
Well, you all know the Polish joke about why does it take three Polacks to screw in a light bulb? Well, now the Polish are telling American jokes. Why does it take five Americans to put in a new light bulb? It takes one to screw in the bulb and four to write the environmental impact.
When they had the Olympic Games in Montreal, there was a German and an Italian and a Polak. They wanted to go to the games, and they went to the entrance gate, and they were all sold out, and they couldn't get in. All that they would let in would be the participants themselves. So the German says, come with me, and the three of them go up the street and found a junkyard, and they're rummaging around in there, and the German finds a broom, and he goes and he buys this broom. They go back to the gate, he takes off the broom, he's got the stick in his hand, he stands there and he says, Schultz, Javel, Germany, and they let him go in. So the other two, the Italian and the Polak, look at each other and they beat it back to the junkyard, and they're looking around, and the Italian picks up a hubcap. And they go running back to the gate and he says, Giovanni, Italy, discus. God lets him on in. Polak, okay, he's crazy. Going back to the junkyard, he's looking all around, he can't think of anything. Finally comes across this roll of barbed wire. And he wraps himself all up in this barbed wire and gingerly goes back to the gate, and the guard says, what's this? And he says, Kowalski, Poland, fencing.
Thank you.
couple of old ladies who lived in a rest home, and they had heard about streaking, and they thought it would be kind of fun to cause a little excitement there by doing some streaking down the hall. So they went into the room and doffed all of their clothes and began to shuttle down the hallway. They passed a room where there were a couple of old men in the room playing checkers. And they looked out the hall and they saw these ladies go by. And one said to the other, "Did you see that?" And the other guy said, "Yeah." He said, "What in the world were they wearing?" He said, "I don't know, but they sure did need ironing."
They went to the hospital and Nina was to be have her baby. And so Olin was at work and the lady at the nurse at the desk called him and said, "Come quick, your wife is gonna have a baby." And so he got in his car and he drove. And so finally he got to the hospital and the nurse thought she was gonna play a trick on Olin, so she put a black baby in front of the window for Ollie to see, and he came up and he goes, "This is your child." And Ollie goes, yeah, that's Lena. She burns everything.
Lars and Ollie were walking down the road one day, and they came to a field. And out in the middle of the field, there seemed to be a guy sitting in a rowboat, and he looked a couple of times, and pretty soon Lars says to Ollie, "What's that guy doing out? I'm not from Minnesota, so I don't have a very good Norwegian accent." But anyway, he says, "What's that guy doing out there in the middle of the field in the rowboat?" And he says, "Well, I don't know." So they walked a little ways further, and he says, "Boy, I'd really like to know what that guy's doing out there in the middle of the field in a rowboat." He says, "Why don't we go out there and ask him?" Ollie says, "We could," but he says, "We don't have a rowboat."
One time, two Jewish rabbis were sitting and talking. And the one Jewish rabbi was really dismayed. "I sent my son to the Holy Land to study the scriptures, to be a good Jewish boy. But he came back and he turned Christian." And the other rabbi goes, "Yeah, I had the same problem with my oldest son." So they both decided to go up to the their superior and tell him about it. And they went up to their superior and they said, "We both sent our oldest sons to the Holy Land to study the scriptures and be good Jewish boys. But they both came back Christian." Well, all three of them decided they better, he had the same problem too. So all three of them decided they'd go talk to the top rabbi, the head guy. We all sent our sons to the Holy Land to study the scriptures and be good Jewish boys. But they all came back Christian. And the head guy goes, "Yeah, my oldest son did the same thing. There's only one person we can turn to now, and that's God." So they all get down on their knees. "God, we all sent our sons to the Holy Land to study the scriptures, and they all came back Christian." There's a big, loud thunder and clapping and all sorts of things. "You know, I had the same problem 2,000 years ago."
Not a bad God voice you've got.
We pastors hear all sorts of interesting things, people coming out of the door, like the Sunday the woman said, "Pastor, before you came here, we didn't know what sin was."
More than that?
And, then, of course, there was that Sunday that caught a little girl on the head and said, God bless you. And she asked her mother, what did he say that for? I didn't sneeze. And then the little boy that saw a memorial plaque on the wall, but he didn't know what it was, asked his dad, and his dad said, that's the names of all those that died during the service. He wanted to know whether it was the morning service or the evening.
This is sort of that my pastor says, he swears it's true that it happened to him. A lady that came to church rarely saw him Sunday morning after he had removed his vestments and said, oh my goodness, I didn't know what you looked like with your clothes on.
There was this American that went over to Germany and he checked in a little hotel. When he came down the next morning, the desk clerk asked him how he rested, and he said, well, I couldn't sleep because of the trains all night. And that puzzled the desk clerk, said, there's not a train around here for miles. So they checked it out, and it happened right across the street from this hotel. A building was going up. Two of Germany's fastest bricklayers were at work, very polite. And so what this man had heard all night was, Dunkishing, finishing, dunkishing, finishing.
So in World War II, some of the World War II Air Force pilots, they got together and they formed their own airline after the war was over. And like some of the Polish aces had, they were pretty good aces, so when they came out with the jet planes, they let the Polish guy fly the 727. He flies it and takes it in, he just flies it perfect. And they come out with the 737, he flies it just fine, brings it in, it's perfect. Then they have the 747, they didn't know if they should let him fly it. He's a pretty good pilot, so they don't fly it. So he's up there, and he's just coming in for a landing. He says to his co-pilot, give me a quarter flaps. This is, looks like a pretty short runway. So the co-pilot says, quarter flaps down. He says, on second thought, give me half flaps. It looks pretty short. The co-pilot says, half flaps down. And they're going in. And pilot says, boy, this runway is shorter than ever. Give me full flaps. And he's screeching to stop and the engines are shut off. And pilot says, boy, that's the shortest runway I've ever seen. And co-pilot says, and the widest one, too.
Church's annual lutefisk dinner. The person across the way from you is using his left as a napkin.
What did the Norwegian do when he saw his first piece of pizza?
Who threw up on the left?
Who threw up on the left?
There was a couple interested in buying a house, and the contractor told them that the time had come they should select the colors they wanted in the room. He could paint them any color they wanted. So they went into the kitchen, and the woman decided she'd like to have that a nice, cheerful yellow. He said, all right, excuse me just a minute. He went over to the window and called out, green side up. Then they went into the living room, and she decided that blue would be real nice in there. So he wrote on his pad, and then he stepped over the window. Remember, green side up. They went into the bedroom. She selected the color for that. Once again, he stopped to say, excuse me, just a moment. Went to the window and called out, green side up. And they said, would you mind explaining why every time we tell you this, you frequently go to the window and say green side up? And he said, well, I have a Swede out there sodding the yard.
He's not going to appreciate it, but you know, we have a research station and you can write and find out how to raise anything. So this guy from Mania, he's gone through college, and he decided he wanted to raise chickens, and so he wrote and asked them, how do you do it? And they said, well, you get you the chickens and they will just real easy you and feed for them. And so he dug a hole and he planted each chicken. Of course they died. And he wrote back and said, well, there's something you've left out. He said, I thought I followed your directions. And he said, well, maybe you had our directions upside down. So he went out and he bought another. The directions were upside down. He says, you've done things backwards and you should have done it upside down. So they take him and he goes back and buys some more chickens and plants them. He plants them head down. And he says, ah, that's all you can expect from A&M anyway. He never did get anything to grow.
Yes, indeed. Any more Texas jokes around?
There was this truck driver who made his living by hauling freight from coast to coast. And he had this one bad habit whenever he was on the road and he saw this Swede out there hitchhiking. He'd drive almost by him and he'd swerve and clip the guy, you know, and hit him. And he did this day after day whenever he saw a Swede out there with his thumb out. And they had a policy in the trucking business that they couldn't have any passengers with them. But one day he was driving down the road and he saw this priest with the hood up on his car and smoke and steam was billowing out, and this guy slows down and goes, you know, for a priest, I can make an exception. So he goes over there and he says, you know, Father, is there anything I can do for you? And he says, well, I just really need a ride in the next town if you could help me with that. And he said, fine, I'd be glad to. So they get in the truck and they're having a real good conversation stuff, and the truck driver looks up and in the distance there's this Swede with his thumb up, you know. And he's going, oh no, I can't with this priest in here. And he gets closer and closer and he's just starting to sweat, you know, starting to shake a little bit. He's just not even hearing anything this priest is saying. And he's going, I gotta have self-control, I can't hit him with this priest in here. So they get closer and closer and closer, and finally they're just about going by this guy, and the Swede's got his thumb out like that, and he just closes his eyes and his arms go into the side like that, and he thinks he passed him, and he goes, Father, I didn't hit him, did I? And the father goes, no, but I got him with the door.
Swedish Self-Defense League people here?
I'm Swedish. Oh, I got one, except it's not against anybody. It's sort of religious. Okay, this is one that my brother tells, and it's, I never laugh at it, so don't worry if you don't laugh.
Blame it on your brother, go ahead.
Okay, there were these two friends, and they were different sort of friends because
They lived at the bottom of the ocean. And one of them's name was Sam Clam, and one of them's name is Carrie Crab. Okay, well, these two, they were just great friends, and they have grand old time. They're getting pretty old, and one day they died. And Sam Clam, he wasn't, you know, he's done some bad things in his life, and he went to hell. But Carrie Crab, he was a good guy, so he went to heaven. And you know, years later, Carrie Crab, he'd gotten his wings, his angel wings, of his harp. And he was up there having a good time, but he kind of missed his old friend down in hell. So he went up to the head angel and said, "Is there any way I can go visit my friend? Just for a few hours, I'd like to see him." And the head angel said, "Well, we can make an exception, but you've got to be back by midnight." Sort of like Cinderella, you know. Okay, so, and he said, the other thing is you can't leave anything behind. You've got to, if you go down there, you've got to make sure you've got your wings and your heart before you come back. Okay? So, Carrie Crab, oh, sure. Okay, so he goes down to Sam Clam to visit him in hell. And Sam Clam, meanwhile, had set up a disco down there. And it was really prospering, and he was having a great time. So he entertained Carrie Crab pretty well, and they're having a good time. And all of a sudden, Carrie Crab looked at the clock, and it was 10 to 12. Oh, no. So he rushes back up to heaven, you know, and he gets there just in time, and he goes to the head angel and says, I'm back. And the head angel says, "Well, good. I'm glad you made it back, but you left your harp down in hell." And that's it, you know, that was all it took. And so they banished him in his wings, and oh, it was a really sad story. So to kind of keep it in the other angels' mind so they remembered it, they kind of wrote a song to so people would remember. So it goes like this. "I left my harp in Sam Clam's disco."
I'm glad your brother explained it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of San Francisco, we have a show and tell joke. You said that we have to make this ethnic to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm French, Irish, Scots, Dutch, German, English, and Welsh. And then I thought what I'd do is tell a San Francisco joke. This is show and tell. And in order for me to show as I tell, I have to use this. Thank you. It's a little bit difficult here, but do you know how a San Franciscan ties his shoe?
No.
Yeah. Now this is a ledge here, if you can tell.
When I was in college, I had this roommate of mine that built radio towers during the summer. And one time they decided to play a real joke on the boss. So before the boss got there, they stuffed some coveralls full of newspaper and stuff and tied boots on it and gloves on it. They put a tool belt around it and a helmet on it. They hauled it all the way up to the top of the tower. Well, near the base of the tower was this little shed where they kept tools and equipment and parts and things like that. Well, the boss got there about 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was in on this joke. And the boss was telling the foreman, he says, "You gotta make sure guy wire goes from there down to there and from there down to there." And the foreman kind of signals the guys at the top to drop the dummy, so they drop it. And, you know, the boss just freaks out. He goes, "Oh, no, my God," you know. And they planned it so this dummy would fall behind the shed. So this boss, he sees him falling, and they start to run over there. And when the dummy hits the ground, the guys quick throw it in the shed, and there's this guy rolls around in the dirt real quick, and when the boss comes around, this guy's going, "Doggone it, that's the second time this week."
Sexist and violent, all right. Good category. Go ahead.
There's a guy named John, and he and his wife were having a lot of problems, and he just really couldn't cope with their marriage anymore, and so he was trying to think of ways of getting rid of her. And he had a real good friend named Artie, and Artie said that he'd take care of it for him. He'd find a way to knock her off, just, you know, get her out of the picture altogether. So John said, boy, that would really be a load off my mind. I'll pay you anything you want. And Artie said, no, I can't accept any money for it at all. You know, this is just a favor between friends. And John said, no, I really feel guilty. I have to pay you something. And Artie said, okay, I'll take $1 for it. So he said, all right. So they made that agreement. So Artie asked John where he could find his wife. And he said, well, she's down at the Red Owl right now shopping. You can probably get her in the parking lot. So Artie headed on down to the Red Owl. And pretty soon a woman came out of the store that matched the description of John's wife, and he kind of snuck around behind her, grabbed her around the neck, and strangled her. She fell over dead in the parking lot. Then he realized, much to his horror, that it was the wrong woman. So he hung around behind another car and waited for someone else to go to the supermarket. And pretty soon someone else came out that he thought looked like John's wife. So he went up to her, grabbed her around the neck, strangled her, and she fell over dead in the parking lot. Pretty soon he looked at her and realized that, no, that was also the wrong woman. So he had to wait for her. Pretty soon John's wife actually did come out of the supermarket. He, you know, repeated the performance, strangled her to death in the parking lot. The next day in the paper, the headline read, Artie chokes three for $1 at the Red Owl.
I'm just listening and laughing. Keep it coming.
So many of you realize my name is Fox, and I'm a pastor. And I used to have a two-point parish in Minnesota, and I had to drive rather quickly between the churches in order to make it on Sunday mornings. One Sunday morning, I got stopped by the highway patrolman, and wearing my collar, I thought I was in pretty good shape for avoiding a ticket. And so I said, well, you know, I'm Father Fox, officer. He says, I don't care if you're Mother Goose, you're still.
Had planned to have a Seder meal together, and they prepared all the food, and when they were eating, one of the little boys said, hey, pass the unleaded bread.
There was this little kid, and he couldn't talk too good, and he wanted to buy some bird feed for bird. And so he goes up to the store owner, and he goes, Mister, can I buy some bird feed? And the man wasn't a very nice man, and he said, well, son, I'm not going to say any bird feed until you can say it right. Yes, sir. And back the next day. Mister, can I buy some bird feed? Son, I told you once I'm not going to say any bird feed until you can say it right. Yes, sir. And back the next day. Mister, can I buy some bird feed? Son, I told you once, I told you twice, I'm not going to say any bird feed until you can say it right. Yes, sir. Comes back the next day. Mister, can I buy some birdseed? Son, I told you once, I told you twice, I told you 1,000 times. I'm not going to say any birdseed until you can say it right. Comes back the next day. Mister, you want to buy a dead bird?
Get hard up, you can always revise nursery rhymes like Mary Mary Quite Contrary, How Did Your Garden Grow? Oh, by simple mitotic cellular division, incidental to normal bowel counts. Soluble terrestrial minerals, legume derived nitrogen, atmospheric carbon dioxide. inherent properties of life. Of course, silly.
Okay, on that heavy academic note, we will end the formal happy hour. Anybody who has some slightly off-color ones can stay around for a while. We'll break the formal session. Thank you all. Sleep well with a smile.